Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off about a month ago in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading, though, in verse 10. Our text will be found in verse 17. Read with me or follow along, if you don't mind, as I read from Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul writes in verse 10, as he closes out this great epistle, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in our strength, but in God's strength." Amen? Not in our wisdom, but in the wisdom of God. And he says, "And put on the whole armor of God," and here's the reason, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against people." We do not wrestle against Christians. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation," and our scripture for this morning, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And the church says, amen. We are putting on the entire armor of God. You cannot and I cannot neglect one piece. To do so is actually spiritual insanity. It's also a suicide, if you will, because the devil hates you. He hates me. He hates God. He hates the Holy Spirit. And he specifically hates the Word of God. Amen? We will never, ever walk worthy of our calling. Remember the word worthy. I'm sure you know what that means by now. Equal in doctrine, equal in application. It's a picture of a set of weights, 5 pounds and 5 pounds. You're perfectly balanced. So if we're going to walk worthy of our calling, we have to put on the sixth piece of armor, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is, loved one, now listen to me, it is our only offensive weapon. There is no other offensive weapon against the powers of darkness and Satan. I want you to listen now. The sword of the Spirit is only for the demonic realm. It is only for the rulers of darkness. It is only for Satan. It is not for flesh and blood. Are you with me? We're in a war here, and that is vital that we get that into our spirits this morning. So he starts off, and he tells us the command. He says for us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The command "take" in the Greek literally means to grasp it, to grab it with your hand. In other words, this is something that you must do. It will not be done for you. So you have to take it up. The rulers of darkness, believe me, and the devil, he will do anything in his power to enable your thinking to believe that verse 17 is an option for you or a suggestion from God. It's not. It is a command from God. And the reason he wants you not to take up the sword of the Spirit is that he knows that the sword of the Spirit is the greatest supernatural weapon known on planet Earth, which is the Word of God. Amen? And he will do anything to stop you. Remember when King David, when he was fleeing from King Saul, and he went to the city of Nob, where all the priests were, and he showed up, and he was running from Saul because Saul wanted him dead. And he comes to the priest empty-handed. He has no weapon. He has no food. And he asked Abimelech, I believe it was, he says, I need a weapon. Are there any weapons? He says, no, there's only one weapon here, and it is the sword of Goliath. And what did David say? Give it to me, for there is none like it. That is exactly what you need to understand this morning, that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, there is none like it anywhere, any place on earth. Amen? I mean, it is God's weapon to defeat Satan at his every turn. The Bible tells us in James 4:7, what did he writes, and he says, submit therefore to God. He says, and when you do that, he says, and then resist the devil, and he will run from you or flee from you. That word means he will run in terror from you. In that verse in James 4:17, there is found a command, submit unto God, and then the promise, and the devil will flee from you. Christian, listen to me this morning. He will never flee from you if you are a swordless believer. You have to know what you believe and stand on what you believe. Amen? Now, look at it again. It says, take the sword of the what? You can talk to me. I need you to talk to me, man. Matter of fact, I may even get a chair up here in a minute. Do you understand? Take the sword of the what? Is it a capital S or a small S? So it's talking about the Holy Spirit of God, isn't it? So when it says take the sword of, that word of tells us the origin or the source of the Word of God, which is, of course, the sword of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. These scriptures, I know the ones I'm going to quote, you know so well. 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, for every scripture, all scripture is given, and it tells us how, by the inspiration of God. In other words, they are God-breathed, the pneuma, the Holy Spirit of God. They're profitable for doctrine. The Word of God is profitable for reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. And here's the purpose, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now listen, without the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, man, every believer is completely unequipped. Amen? Completely unequipped. You can't stand against the wiles of the devil. So it says that the sword, which is supplied by the Spirit, is the Word of God. And the word there is very important. There are two words in the Greek in the New Testament for the word. Now, the first one is logos. Logos literally is the written word, if you will. Okay? It is God's revelation. It is God's message. It is God's 66 books of the Bible, which have been given or entrusted unto the church and given unto mankind. This is God's word to man. Amen? So this is the written word, the logos. And the logos of God is so powerful. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word, meaning the logos, the written word, the logos of God, it is alive, it's living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division, soul, spirit, joints, marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is powerful, loved one. I don't make it powerful. You don't make it powerful. God's word is powerful. Amen? And boy, when God speaks, is it done? Absolutely. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:1-23, it says, having been born again, that's us, and it tells us how we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word or through the logos of God. Now listen carefully, which lives and abides forever. He says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away. And here it comes. But the word, now here it's not logos, it's rhema. But the word, the rhema of the Lord, endures forever. It will outlast every person. It will outlast this universe. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Why? Because God's word is living and it is eternal. Amen? It's a living word of God. So logos, the written word of God, rhema then is an utterance or the spoken word of God or the sayings of God. Remember Matthew 7:24? I believe I'm right. Jesus said, he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, the sayings of Almighty God, the Son of God, I will liken him unto a wise man. Remember? So these sayings of God, if you look down in Ephesians there, if you look down to the verse, 19, this the rhema means utterance. Look what Paul says. He says in verse 19 of Ephesians 6, and for me, that utterance or the sayings of God, that utterance may be given to me in the reason that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So listen carefully now. Logos is the written word of God. You have it right there in your hand. Rhema is the communication of the written word of God, or a communication of the sayings of the living God. Rhema is when the Logos, here's the written word, it's when the Logos becomes alive in your heart, or it becomes the Rhema. Does that make sense? When information becomes revelation in your heart. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, Paul writes and he says, so faith then cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Now listen carefully. That word there is not by hearing the Logos of God, not by hearing that. No, it's by hearing the Rhema of God. Rhema is a warfare word, loved one. Rhema is when all of a sudden I'm up here teaching the word of God. And sometimes people will come to me when the service is over and says, man, I'm going to tell you, Bill, you read my mind or my heart or whatever, and you were speaking. The God's word was speaking right to me. Well, praise the Lord for that, but I'm not the one responsible for that. Does that make sense? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? What's happening? The Logos that I am communicating becomes Rhema, a living word in your heart, and it becomes alive. Now listen very, very carefully. Faith only comes by hearing the Rhema of God. When it becomes alive in your heart. How many people in this world that are lost hear the word of God, but it never comes alive? Do you understand? They're natural man. They cannot receive the things of God. So the Rhema is that living word and so forth. Ray Stedman, who's passed many years ago, said this, sometimes when you're reading a passage of Scripture, the words seem to suddenly come alive. They take on flesh and bones. They leap off at the page of you. He says, this is the Rhema of God. Every Christian, you know it, I know it, I believe it, it's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to you as well. You'll be studying the Word of God, the Logos of God, and all of a sudden it seems like the Word just stands up on the page. Why? It becomes a living word, alive, that can never be taken out of your heart, loved one. Now listen, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the living word of God, it does something. It cuts into a person's heart. Remember the first sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. Remember, it says they were cut to the heart. Why were they cut to the heart? Well, the Bible tells us why. It says their heart was literally cut to shreds, those 3,000 people in Acts 2:37. It says, and when they heard, here it comes, when they heard this, what did they hear? Well, that you crucified your own Messiah, Jesus Christ. It says they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and John, oh man, what must we do? And Peter told them to repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Now I want you to listen to me. There is today, there is a famine of the Word of God in this country, in America. I don't care how many TV programs proclaiming the Word of God. Listen, I've been gone, and this last week, I didn't watch any TV, didn't do a thing but stay in bed. And for the last week, I started going through the Christian networks. I'm going to tell you something. I say unashamedly, and I say without judgment, I say there's a famine of the Word of God in our nation. And most Christians today in our nation, they have no idea that they are literally starving to death spiritually because of the lack of the Word that has been given. Whenever the nation of Israel rejected God's Word, what did God do? God sent them a famine. Listen to it, Amos 8:11. It says that, "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land." And listen now carefully. God says, "Oh no, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. And oh, they'll run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." Loved one, listen, we have Christians today. They're wandering from church to church. They really want the Word of God, but they settle for so much less in so many churches. They do not know that they are spiritually starving. They do not know that they're trying to live off feel-good messages or just one topical sermon or series after another. And I do not condemn mental fog from COVID. You hate that, don't you? Raul, what church am I in? No, they're married. See, they don't know. Do you understand? They just know that they love the Lord. And their swords are so dull, they couldn't even slice hot butter. Oh, listen, loved one. They just don't know it. See, they don't understand that Satan's greatest tactic and attack is always going to be against the Word of God. And he wants every Christian that he can recruit. He wants every pastor that he can manipulate. He wants every Bible college that he can gain their confidence. You know what he wants them to do? He wants them, every church, to water down the Word of God. And don't mention things that offend other people. Don't do that. That's a bunch of bull. Do you understand? It's bull. That's a Texas word. If you better learn it, go look it up. You understand? No, listen. Listen, Satan is terrified of the Word of God. Demons believe and tremble at the Word of God. Do you understand? And they will do anything to get the church to water down God's word and so forth, because he knows that without God's word, a Christian's not equipped. He knows without God's word that they're certainly not complete. And he knows if they don't have God's word, then they are swordless. And that's the only way you can defeat and keep the one who Jesus defeated. Amen? Oh, that's so important. See, the devil, he knows that the Word, the true Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, is the true source of all spiritual growth, the true source of all spiritual transformation in the life of the believer. He also knows that God's Word is the breath of God, filled with the authority of God, and is the living Word of God, and he can't stand it. Do you understand that? Therefore, his greatest tactic is to do something, and that is it'll always be against the Word of God. We are to take the sword of the Holy Spirit of God, the living Word of God, the Rhema of God, and we are to conquer and keep the evil one where he belongs. We do it with the Word of God. And it's our only offensive weapon, loved one. If you are not armed with the sword of the Spirit, then you are disarmed. And the only way to be armed with the sword of the Spirit is, number one, you must know God's Word. But number two, you have to believe it. Amen? You have to believe the Word of God. See, you have to believe where the Logos comes alive like Rhema into your heart. It becomes revelation. Job said it this way in Job 23:12, "I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Let's make now an application. I want you to turn and let's look at the master swordsman himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we're going to learn from him and we're going to make application. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now, this is after Jesus has now been baptized. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him like a dove. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 17, a voice from heaven said, who's the Father, of course, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And look what happened immediately after Jesus was filled with the Spirit and water baptized. It says, and then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Look at that capital S, the Holy Spirit. Where was he led to? Into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted or tested by the devil. He wasn't led by the Spirit to the multitudes that were hurting or to anybody that was sick. He was led alone into the wilderness. Now listen carefully. God wasn't testing Jesus. That's ridiculous. I've heard people say that. That's why he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. No, God just said, if you read chapter 3, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? And listen, the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's not confused about that. But what we need to see here is that Jesus is going to face the God of this world, Satan himself. Now listen, not as God, but as man. And he's doing so, loved one, for you and for me, so that we can learn from this illustration that Jesus, he's saying, listen, the resources that I use to defeat the evil one, you use the same resources. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was what? The Greek means he was literally starving to death. And so when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, well, if or since, you know, since you're the Son of God, he says, command that these stones become bread. I imagine after 40 days of not eating, I don't know about you, but would you be hungry? Yeah, you know, it's like the devil looking at the Lord there at this encounter with him. Think about that for a moment. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Jesus, you really look hungry to me. 40 days is a long time to go without any nourishment. Here you are up on the mount, here in the being tempted all this time. You're weak, you're worn out. You ever notice that the devil does those things to you when you're exhausted? You know, I can assure you that whenever I was in bed all that time, and not that I want to get into what I was feeling, but I can assure you that he was certainly wanting to plummet my mind with things that were untrue. Do you understand? He comes to you at your weakest time, when you're worn out or when you're exhausted. And I can tell you that Jesus in the flesh was exhausted, but not in the spirit, because he had been praying and he had been fasting. Now, with all that being said, it says here that, you know, Jesus, you really look hungry. So what did Jesus do? You know, Jesus, the devil said, you know, command those stones. So you can make them bread and eat and let's get well or whatever. And Jesus answered in verse 4 and he said, it is written. Say those three words with me. It is written. Those are three words. That's the title of the sermon, by the way. Those are the three words you never, ever want to forget ever, ever in your life as a believer. Jesus answered and said, he is speaking to the wicked, most wicked entity, the darkest human or darkest spirit that has ever been known in the universe. And he says to Satan himself, he says, it is written, it stands written, it can never be changed. It is the eternal living word of God. It is written. That word is grapho in the Greek. It is written that man, talking about you, talking about me, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. And listen to me. Every rhema, not logos. Did you hear that? It says every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus is quoting a wilderness scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And you know, and here's what he's teaching us, that you, that me, that every believer You are to demonstrate Satan's defeat, not by binding and yelling and shouting and, you know, all the other crazy things that people do. And I'm not saying that maybe there's not a time for some of those, as you're led only by the Spirit of God, not through some tradition. But there's a time when you just say, it's written. That's all you have to say. You just say, it is written. Now listen, you can't say, you can't demonstrate his defeat if you do not know the Word of God. Do you understand? You have to know the Word of God. You have to believe the Word of God. It's your only offensive weapon. We're talking about spiritual warfare right now, okay? So Jesus stood against the wiles of Satan, not as the Son of God. He did so as man, the Son of Man. Do you understand? And that's what he did. And he did it on how, teaching us how to use the sword. He just said, Satan, it is written. He confronted the devil as man. He used the Word of God. And listen, did Jesus have all power? Of course he did. Could he have turned that wilderness into a paradise instantly? He certainly could have, but he didn't. So Jesus, hungry, listen, there are so many times when we're going through it, you need to remember, you don't have to deny your pain. You don't have to deny if you're sick. You don't have to deny those things. But I'm going to tell you, whenever a lie comes to you, whenever the deceiver comes to you in your pain, in your suffering, whatever it might be, you better know the Word of God. Because that's when you have to say, I know how I feel. Yes, I'm praying to God to die right now. But I'm telling you, it is written. And this is what God says. And I trust God and not the liar of the world. Amen? And that's what you have to do as well. And, you know, bread is good, but bread alone doesn't give life. It sustains life, but only God can give life and keep it. No one else. He says, and then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple that was way 500 feet high in the air, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is what? There's the word again, for it is written. Now the devil is quoting scripture. You know he can do that, don't you? For it is written, Jesus, man, listen, throw yourself down if you're the Son of God. It's written that he, meaning God, look what your Father said he would do. He'd give the angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Jesus, if man is going to live by, you know, by not just by bread alone, but by the scriptures, he says, why don't you live by this one? Why don't you just jump right off? And your Father who loves you, you know what? If you don't want to use your divine powers, God who loves you will certainly use his. So jump. God will send his angels. And would his angels have come? Yes, but he didn't use his power. The problem with Satan is he never gives you the whole story. See, he quoted Psalm 91 there. And let me just read the whole thing to you, Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. But Satan, see, he left out this part. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here it comes. And you shall tread upon the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent you will trample underfoot. He didn't quote that, did he? No. Now listen, here's the thing. You know, Jesus knows, we know. Is it a sin to test God? Yes. Presumptuous sin. You know, we don't have to do anything. God's going to protect us. To send your kids out into the street to play. God's going to, you don't have to watch them. Don't worry about those kids driving up and down in their broken down, crummy cars. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to run over your kids. Do you get what I'm saying? No, listen, don't lock your car. Nobody's going to steal it. You know, here I am. You know, I'm sicker than Cootie Brown. I don't even know who Cootie Brown is, but he was sick, buddy. And Becky's running fever. We can't do anything. And I'm hallucinating, you know, and all the rest of it. So 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, in the morning, here we are. You know, Thomas in the hospital, all these things are going on. I'm going, dear God, the church hates me, and you know, all the things that are coming to my mind. And I'm joking. So we hear something at the house. I'm in the bedroom. We're in the bedroom, and I heard a noise. And I just didn't think anything about it. 6 o'clock in the morning, probably the trash people. These guys come in and break in 6 o'clock in the morning and get into our cars, ransack our cars, and I had handguns in there, stole the hand. You know, so you understand what I'm saying? And I'm going, okay, Lord, is there anything else that you want to sift out of my life? Do you understand? Listen, you see, all these crazy things. Now, do you know what I do? I lock my cars while they are in the garage. I do. And when you see a film of somebody vandalizing your home, do you know that something happens to you? Like you just want to go shoot people? Never mind. True story. Thank you, whoever you were, said that. And Jesus said to him, how did he do? He said, he pulled out a sword. He said, it is written in verse 7. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, I mean. He says, you shall not test, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus, listen, you can't live carelessly and test God and think that he is just going to bail you out. Did you know there's only one place in the Word of God where God says to test me now? And where is that at? Malachi 3:10. Test him in your tithes and offerings. Try that next time. Now, look at verse 8. It says, and again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Luke's gospel says he did so in a moment of time, just a second. And he showed him all their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, all these things I will give you. I will give you, Satan says, if you fall down on your face, get on your knees, and you worship me. What a word. Listen, the devil was saying, I'm going to give you back everything that crummy creation called Adam that you created in the garden, everything that he lost. Get on your face, Jesus. If you'll do that, worship me once, and I will give you back everything. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 6, about this same scene. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. Now listen carefully. For this has been delivered to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. Now, Jesus never disputed what Satan said. At that moment, was he the God of this age, the God of the world? Yes, he was. He's now the defeated God of this age. Amen? Never forget that. In other words, he was offering Jesus a shortcut. You don't have to die. You don't have to go to the cross. You came to redeem. I know what you're doing. You want it all back? Worship me. And look what Jesus does again. He said to him, he started shouting at the devil and screaming at the devil and binding the devil. No. He says, away with you, Satan. Now, why? And he quotes Deuteronomy 6:13. For it is what? It is written, and it still stands written, and it can never be changed because it is the living, eternal word of God. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And look what happened. Jesus defeated the devil. It says, then the devil left him. Behold, angels came and ministered to him. Don't you love to see Satan fail? That's exactly what happened. But listen to me. Jesus defeated the wicked one as man, and he defeated the wicked one with the word of God. He did so with words. Jesus just taught us how to live this life. Each temptation, Jesus used the most powerful weapon in the universe. And all three times, he used the living word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Look back at verse 4 again in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds, every word, every rhema word, every living word that comes alive in your heart. You can't live unless the word of God is alive in your heart. Amen? It has to be alive. No, the plan of Satan is to do something. He wants to keep you away from the Word. He doesn't want you to ever hide the Word of God in your hearts. He doesn't want you to open the Word of God. All 66 books, all the swords of the Spirit, it is written, it is written, it is written. You can defeat every lie. You can go, whatever it takes, you can do so. Do you understand me? God's Word is true, man. Listen, you need to be, Christians need to be in a church where they're hearing the Word, the full counsel of God taught, where the information on the page, the Logos of God, the written Word, becomes the Rhema, a living Word in their heart. Amen? Because every believer needs that. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now listen carefully. I know this sounds so simple. This is a very simple text, especially the temptation scene. But loved one, listen. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus, our Lord, the one who died for us, used no other weapon to defeat the wicked one except the living Word of God. Amen? Boy, you've got to get that into your heart. And I don't know about you, but man, that shows me the great need for Bible teaching in the church today, the whole counsel of God. Now, I'm not talking about pet doctrines or pet series and topicals and all of that. I'm talking about the entire counsel of God, the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. Where did Jesus get his swords from? He got it from the Word, but from the Old Covenant. The New Covenant had been written. He used the Word of God. He got them all from Deuteronomy, loved one. No, listen. You know, people say, oh, I can't go through this. What are you teaching in? I remember a long time ago. What are you teaching in? I said, well, I think I'm in Leviticus. Oh, God, Leviticus. I'm not coming. Well, no, you're wrong. See, you need the living Word of God. You need all of the Word of God. Now I'm going to rebuke, and I'm going to do so in love. Here we are, and we're living through a horrible pandemic. And I'm so sick of hearing people say, COVID is not real, COVID is real. You know, it's going to pass away, it's nearly over. I'm so sick. You visit the hospital like I did this week. You see the stretchers outside the emergency room because the hospitals are all full. You see people sit in the emergency room because they can't have a bed for 25 hours in a chair like my son did. And tell me, oh, this is passing. I've never seen the church so weak. Never. I love you. But I'm telling you, we better wake up, loved one. Yeah, we're in the midst of a horrible time, a pandemic. But we are the church of the living God. Amen? And yes, oh, let's not forget this. We now have a brand new president-elect, Joe Biden. And here we are. And you know what I'm seeing? And my heart is breaking because of it. I am seeing Satan using Christians all over and even at Calvary Chapel to use the sword against one another. The sword is for the devil. The sword is for demons. The sword is for the powers of darkness. The sword is to defeat the devil, not one another, not flesh and blood. Amen? Oh, dear God. Listen, so-called believers, you know what they're doing? They're cutting each other to pieces because of this stupid election. My God, what's wrong with us? I look and I say, dear, let me just give you a scripture. You that are doing that, whoever you are, maybe you're not here this morning. I don't know who you are. Don't care. But listen to this. Romans, the Bible teaches us in Romans, it says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I love what Paul says. For it is written, and it stands written, and it will never ever be changed because it is the living eternal Word of God. And I, as I live, Paul says, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow to me, Every tongue shall confess to God, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or to cause your brother to fall in any way. Well, listen, loved one, I'm going to tell you. I look and I see the division in the churches across this nation, but let's just talk about Calvary, that Satan is using believers. Do you know what's happening right now? And some of you are going to get mad at me, and I don't care. Did you hear me? I don't care. That's not because I don't love you, but it's because I do love you. And if you know me, after 28 years of being your pastor, there's one thing I hate, and it's division. It's God hates division. And we're to hate those things that God hates. Amen? Brothers and sisters going at it because of Trump or Biden. I go, oh God, my heart is breaking over that. Do you know what that is? That is idol worship that has entered into the church. It is written, Psalm 32:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not blessed is the nation that Trump is president in, or Biden is president in, or because you voted for the Republican platform or the Democratic platform. Are you listening to me? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's so many that I see that are in the church and they're into idol worship. You know why? They have started looking, oh, it's a plan of the devil. They have started looking unto government instead of God, looking unto a man instead of the Son of Man. Are you listening to me? Oh, it is written in the Bible. It says it is written, Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord. You ready for this? Cursed, God says this, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Vote. Amen. That's our glorious right. Pray for those that are in office, no matter who they are. That's a command. Oh, but the horrible results of a believer not trusting God, it is written in Jeremiah 17:6, he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He'll not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land which is not inhabited. Oh, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, not whose hope is in man or some platform or Trump or Biden or Democrats or any government, whose hope is in the Lord. And when your hope is in the Lord, the Bible says you'll be like a tree planted by waters which spreads out its roots in the river. You're not going to fear when heat comes. Your leaf is always going to be green. You're not going to be anxious. You're not going to be torn apart in the year of drought, nor cease from the yielding fruit. Loved one, listen to me. It is a sin for a believer not to trust in the living God and to look to any form of government. Do you understand me? It is written in Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to rebellious children, saith the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise plans, but not from my spirit, that they may add sin to their sin. What is the Lord saying? Why would you seek protection? I am your protection. Amen? Even maybe you voted for this candidate, and so he's not the one that won. He's not our protection. Do you understand that? Oh, listen, to seek protection other than the Lord is to have no protection. Oh, to plan without divine direction is to have no direction in your life. It is written in Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now you go, God says, Isaiah, you write it on a tablet before the people. Put it on a scroll that it may be for a time to come forever and ever. And listen to what he wrote. God said to write, you are a rebellious people. You are lying children who will not hear the law of the Lord. What a word. See, it is written. That, do you know that stands forever? It will never be changed. It'll never pass away. God's word is truth. Amen? It says in Isaiah, it is written in Isaiah 30, verse 10. Listen to this, talking to Judah. It says, he says, do not see. Oh, and to the prophets, he's saying, oh, do not prophesy to us. Don't prophesy right things. Oh, speak to us smooth things. Oh, prophesy to us deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. What are they saying? The same thing that is happening in our midst today. They did not want Israel and Judah. They did not want a supernatural message from the living God. And I have to say, what kind of message does the 21st century church, that what do we desire from God? They didn't want their complacent, comfortable lifestyles to be ruffled. I want you to listen to me this morning, because I may not have enough strength to teach the next service, but Raul already is prepared to do so. I'm going to tell you something. I am not of this world, and you are not of this world, and we do not belong to this world. And Christians, if they are causing this kind of division over the government and who won and who didn't win, I'm telling you what, you need to repent. And something else, you need to return to holiness. 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 Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness. Prayer. On your knees before God. We're in the midst of a horrible time, and every Christian should be praying. We need to return to our rightful place, which is the authority found in the kingdom of God and in the government of God. And you say, Bill, that's not what I wanted to hear this morning about it is written. Oh, I know. I know what you want to hear. It is the truth. You want to hear when Satan says you're going down. You want to hear when he says, you lost your job and this and that. You know what? You want to say, oh, no, it's written. Philippians 4:19, for God shall supply all of my need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You want to hear this morning, it is written, yes, thanks be unto God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, it is written. It is written that you are chosen in him. Before time, before the foundation of the earth. It is written that you are accepted in him. It is written that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That you're adopted, that you're sealed until the very day of redemption. Yes, those are all, it's true. It is written. It is written, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's written, and it is true. Yes, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in us would complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Loved one, we are the church of the living God. Our government is from God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the democratic platform, the Republican platform, the socialist platform. Am I against voting? Praise God, I vote. I voted all my life. I vote righteousness like most Christians do. But I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. Every Christian gives an account before God, not me and not man and not another believer. Amen? With that division then, it must stop. It must stop. And those that are listening, I say I love you, but if you're not going to repent and get your act together, why don't you go find someplace else and torment people in another church? Because, oh, I heard that. Yes, that's right. If you're not going to get right and do what God says, why would I let somebody torment the sheep of this church? Amen? No. No. It is written, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It is written. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for your word. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, may we stand to our feet, please, this morning. You're going to have to help me sing this morning. We're going to close with a song. If you need prayer after we're dismissed, if you'll remain seated, there'll be those that'll come and they will pray with you. I love you with all my heart, but I am not here to water down the word of God for anything. And when I hear of things like that, and I had no idea, may I tell you that I wept. Dear God, it is written. It is written that we are to love each other just as Christ loves us. Amen. Love, it is written, love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. It is written, God is good. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good to you. Yes, you are, Lord. Come on. And I love him so. Yes, we do, Lord. I love him so. He's so good to you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I love you dearly in Jesus' name.